Good morning. I must share this story about what happened to my brother-in-law. I suppose you can call it a children's story, but you can stay in your seats, kids. It was time for him to have his lunch. It's good to have lunch, isn't it? We all like lunch. And he was out in the building site when he was going to have lunch. And it was going to be a simple lunch. He had these slices of bread and he had a tomato to cut up and put in his, make a sandwich. So he put the slices of bread down to one side. He was looking around the tomato and getting that ready. And he looked back to his slices of bread. They were gone. But how would bread disappear like that? And he looked up and he saw two little dogs running around, happy as Larry, with a couple of slices of bread in their mouths. It's amazing how quick dogs can be, a little dog can be. You never know. Bread can very quickly disappear. Such is life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, as we look at what is happening now with Nehemiah as he challenges these people to build, and they do build, may we be challenged too, dear Lord, and encouraged to do our part that you've given us to do this day. So be with us now by your Spirit. Is our request in Jesus' precious name. Amen. To have the setting, Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. We're looking at an interesting meeting which had taken place. One which I'm sure they had not really prepared for, the leaders. They would hardly expect that one would come among them and tell them that the impossible could be done. But in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17, we find these words, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, and we be no more a reproach." Let's build. Build. What a challenge to be given to these people. To come, let us build. But it's not enough just to make a statement like that. He then went on and he put behind it the evidence of God being with this project in verse 18. "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." The people were reminded of what the Lord had done and that he would be with them in this endeavor. And again the challenge was put to them to let us rise up and to build this wall. And we find that they were greatly encouraged by the call to build. They were willing to put their hand to the task and to do their best. As one considers this scene, the question could be asked of us. If the Lord were to ask us to rise up and to build for him today, what would be our response? Would we be willing to build? Or would we be looking for an excuse not to do it? how often we can look for an easy way out. When the Lord is trying to see if we really want to move forward for Him. You know, the Lord always wants to work with a builder, not with one who wants to pull down. Are we builders? Are we builders? And so the challenge was put to these leaders, to the nation of Israel. What are you going to do? Are you going to build or put it off? Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 1, we find the beginning of a new situation where they were starting to build. Then Eliab, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Zemiah. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiah. Here we find that the leaders of the people would lead the way in the rebuilding of the wall. We find that the high priests and the priests and the brethren went forth and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it. Here they would all find great comfort, meaning. The leaders were leading the way, and this was a good start. A good start. And it's interesting that with the leaders doing their part, that the people themselves found courage to step out and to do their bit. I'm reminded of the words found in Proverbs. Come with me there. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. In doing and accepting this challenge to do what God wanted them to do, God gave them strength to do it. Psalms 46. Psalms 46, come with me there. Psalms 46. And in verse 1 we have a statement that we all know very, very well. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God was the refuge and the strength. And at this moment, in the building up of this wall, He wanted to give them the strength to carry it out. And how much the more can be achieved when we know that God is there beside us, that in Him we can move, we can have our strength, that He will not fail, He will not let us falter. He will lead us through the paths, even though we cannot see the end. God is there. And by faith in holding on to Him, we are safe. We are safe in His care. For today, for every day. What a wonderful thing to remember. And so they began to build. Began to build. And as you read through the chapter of what took place, the thing that catches your attention, the thing that catches my attention, is the fact that the writer did not gloss over the work that was done or the attitude of some. Come to me at verse 5, Nehemiah 3. Nehemiah 3, verse 5. I find these words. And next unto them, the Kechathites, repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. What a statement that is made. Here was a group of people that while they did their bit, they had a wrong spirit. They weren't keen. They were lazy. They were dragging the chain. And in the work of God, the people who are wanted the most are people who have the right spirit, the right attitude. You know, we could ask ourselves the question on this matter too, that when we do things for God or for others, do we do it with the right spirit? What is that right spirit? Come with me to the following, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Proverbs 11. Come with me back there. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered unto himself. A liberal soul. A cheerful giver. A liberal soul. Romans 12. Come with me there. Romans 12. Here again another image of the attitude God wants. Romans 12, beginning with verse 8. Or he that exhorteth. An exaltation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. With brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know, as you read through this passage, it gives a very clear indication of what God looks for in attitude. Each of the above texts that we just looked at brings home the point that we do things with the right spirit. That we are careful in our actions and that we are striving to do that which we can for the Lord and to not let the team down. But as we go back to the building of this wall, as you read through the building of this wall in this chapter, you would find that there are some parts that may have sounded important. And some parts that sounded not quite so glamorous. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 7. And next under them repaired, I wish to make the names easier, Melatiah, the Gibeonite, a Jadon, the Mithrite, and the men of Gibeon and the Mizpah, under the throne of the government on this side of the river. The throne of the governor. I'd imagine there may have been a rather important part of the wall. But then you consider verse 13. The valley gate. Where parent Haman, Hanan, and the inhabitants of Zimroth, they built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the Dung Gate. Doesn't sound quite as important, that gate, does it? The Dung Gate. This part of the project may not have had quite the same appeal, but it was done. All the wall had to be built. Whatever the good parts and the bad parts, it all needed to be built. And the Bible tells us that when we are faithful in little things, it does not go unnoticed by heaven. We get rewarded in time. You see, God loves those who are faithful, even in little things. Luke 12. Come with me there. Luke 12. Luke 12, beginning with 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing of a truth. I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all that he hath." Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24:46. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods." You know what a call for us here today. That we are to be faithful in all that we do, in all that we say. That when we are given a task to do, that is done well. It is done well and done for the Lord. How we could all learn to do that, to be faithful. You know, as we consider the building of this wall, at first glance, it may seem like a large task. And it would have been if there had been only one person to do the project. But what do we find as we read through this account? That yes, there are many different families that gave their all to the project. And their aim was to build that wall and to see it completed. And for us today, we could ask the same question. Hey, what about us? What is our project? Are we to build a wall? No, maybe not. Not literally. But there is something that we are all called to do. You see, we all believe that Jesus is coming back, don't we? How soon, we do not know, but we are given the task of being ready and to spread the good news to others. We are given a charge, and it's found in Matthew 28. Come with me there. Matthew 28. We know this charge very, very well, beginning with verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Hey, How we all know these words. We know them well. But are we brave enough to apply them to ourselves, appreciating and knowing that we too have a part to play? Sure, we may not run a mission or speak to thousands of people. We may not be speaking on the radio waves of the air. But we can speak to just one person. One person, and in so doing, bringing to them the good news of salvation that is found in Jesus. You know, as you think through it, we hear nations, countries taking up appeals for help in disasters. And we all think, you know, we can't do much. What we do isn't much. But you think about it. We have a population of Australia, what, 20-odd million? And let's say if each person gave in $1 each, what would we have? 20 million. It can be done. If we all do our part faithfully, however big or small that part may be, but if it's done faithfully, what a difference. And you know, Jesus also prayed that we would do that part, because in John chapter 17, in the prayer of Jesus, we're given a special mention. John 17, come with me there. John 17, verse 20. In 21 we read, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We all can play a part. Just here it was one person. Just one. When Jesus added these words in his prayer, I'm sure he had each of his followers in mind, that we each would be faithful in so doing the part that we are given to do. Maybe a great part, maybe small. But if we were faithful, what a difference it would make to the end result in winning people for Jesus. You know, when you look at the early church, you find that the apostles were faithful to their calling, and the results were amazing. That many people were won to the kingdom, and that the results of their labours were great in numbers and conversions. Come to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. 46 and 47, those two verses. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did each them meet with gladness and singleness of mind, praising God, and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. As we read through these two verses, what we find here is that the people had a very, very deep commitment. They were committed. And what a time it must have been, what rejoicing there would have been, as the people gave their all to the kingdom. What a time of change that would have brought to the landscape, as the people around about them saw the changes taking place. You know, the people of Nehemiah had a job to do. To build a wall. That each had a part to play, and in looking back on it all, it seems as though some parts of the job were more glamorous than others. Some were keen, some were slack. But the wall got built. The wall got built. We today are living in what we call the end of the time, end of age. We believe time is running out. And for us today, the challenge is still the same. Are you getting people ready to meet God? We each have got a part to play. The summit may be a position of leadership and running a church. It may be running a conference, running a division. Position of leadership. For others, it may be going to a foreign field to be a missionary. And for others, it may just be speaking to a person on a street. Not very glamorous. But for each, the challenge is just the same and of equal importance. The Apostle Paul wrote about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he put it this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, behold, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Now are they many members, yet but one body. Just as it took many people to build the wall by each doing their part, so today, if we each do the part that we are given to do, then the end will come and we will then all go home. That wall was built by willing hands and each person doing their part. May we today be willing to do our part for Jesus. And being willing to do our part that he gives us to do, that we will hasten his return to this earth, and then we can all go home. Dear Heavenly Father, may we each work in the vineyard, the part of the vineyard you have asked us to work in. May we each do our work faithfully, so that Jesus will soon return and we can then go home. Keep us faithful to you, we pray, dear Lord. It's a humble plea. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.